Wayne Shorter Quartet playing Wayne Shorter's great composition and a true jazz classic, Footprints. The current Wayne Shorter Quartet consists of Shorter on tenor sax and soprano sax. We heard him playing both in that piece. Danilo Perez on piano, John Patitucci bass, and Brian Blade on drums. And that's from an album called Footprints Live, which came out a few years ago, but is a good sample of the current quartet in a live performance. They're going to be playing in the Earshot Jazz Festival a week from today at Benaroya Hall. I'm Jim Wilkie. You're listening to Jazz Northwest from 88.5 KPLU and streaming at kplu.org. Today we're going to be previewing some of the first concerts in the Earshot Jazz Festival starting next weekend. Dozens and dozens of concerts which are taking place over the course of the next 6 weeks as part of the Earshot Jazz Festival. John Gilbreth joining us today, talking about some of the things coming up in the first half of the festival, at least. Not only is it one of the longest jazz festivals, spanning as much time as it does, but it's also one of the most wide-ranging as well.
Some of these things determined because of routing possibilities, mm-hmm. of course. Us not having a truckload of money to just call in people from around the world on the exact day that we need them, taking advantage of tours and things. And of course, with an artist like Wayne Shorter, as with an artist like Keith Jarrett in the years that we've done the Keith concerts, you know, you're lucky to get it. And mm-hmm. you take the date that's available.
And build the festival around that.
And build the festival around it. Yeah, absolutely. I was actually hoping and actually said out loud that planning to do a shorter festival and fewer concerts and events. But as is often the case, one thing leads to another. And gee, if the worst thing we're doing is doing too much, that's not the worst thing in the world.
I guess not. Yeah. And speaking of Shorter Festival, Wayne Shorter is one of the featured, the poster boy for the festival, if you will.
Looking forward to that.
That's October 11th.
That ensemble with Danilo Perez and John Patitucci and Brian Blade, it's like the top of the food chain as far as music making current day is concerned. And Wayne, certainly legendary. A lot of respected instrumentalists like Fred Hirsch, I remember saying that Wayne Shorter will go down as the best composer for small ensemble jazz. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even caught up to his large ensemble and classical kind of works that he's done. So, yeah, really a remarkable figure in jazz and really responsible, or at least instrumental, if you will, in shaping what jazz sounds like today.
Mm-hmm. I remember certainly those early years with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, where he really established himself, the early Blue Note records and so on. Yeah.
And he's always been a bit of a willing to not fully inhabit the ground. You know, he's been a little bit into science fiction, into possibilities outside of the physical and tangible. And I think that's influenced his writing and certainly his playing and things like that. And he continues to develop and evolve as a musician.
He has a sort of mysterious persona in that range.
He was a big fan of like comic books and science fiction stuff, even when he was a teenager, and went in with that Art Blakey.
Wayne Shorter Quartet playing Sunday, October 11th at Benaroya Hall in the big hall in
the
Taper Forum.
That's absolutely the big, that'll be a treat. We've priced tickets, you know, in a widespread of dollar amounts. We absolutely want people in there, so we have some very affordable tickets there. This is a chance. One doesn't want to presage any kind of unfortunate circumstances, but he's 81 years old at this point and still, you know, very much in the game, but nothing lasts forever, as you know.
And he's certainly a legendary figure in the history of jazz, not to be missed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of Wayne's, who is now resident in Seattle for the last several years, Wayne Horvitz is being celebrated this year. You have a number of projects built around Wayne Horvitz. Tell us about the range of things he's going to be doing.
You know, I've always been so impressed with Wayne as an artist because he's just looking forward. If not relentlessly, then unswervingly going forward in his own trajectory. So we're celebrating his 60th birthday, not with a retrospective, but with projects that look forward, and certainly with a monumental event that we've been working on for 2.5 years with the Seattle Symphony Orchestra. It'll just be a great, great night of music at Benaroya Hall on the 29th. We're opening on the opening weekend with a project that Wayne Horvitz has been working on for a long time. It's a body of work based around the poems of Richard Hugo, who was a Seattle Pacific Northwest resident poet, and for whom the Richard Hugo House on Capitol Hill is named. Wayne has worked a large conceptual piece called Some Places Are Forever Afternoon, which is a line from a Richard Hugo poem, and then subtitled 11 Places for Richard Hugo.
We've been playing it here on Jazz Northwest from time to time, and I've always been fascinated by the intersection of music and poetry, and one influencing and relating to the other, as is the case here.
And the crew from the national broadcast Jazz Night in America will be here to film that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also going to film the night of the Westerlies concert later on at the Seattle Art Museum.
When is that with the Westerlies?
That's on Sunday, October 25th, and the enigmatic saxophone wizard Skerrick will do a solo set opening that up.
Our guest on Jazz Northwest today is John Gilbreth, Executive Director of Earshot Jazz and the major moving force behind the Earshot Jazz Festival, which begins next weekend. It'll start out on Friday night. For a complete schedule of the Earshot Jazz Festival, see the website at earshot.org. There are also brochures around town, as well as the Earshot Jazz newsletter, which has a lot of details about the various groups which are performing during the festival, starting on Friday night, October 9th, and running through November 18th. We will hear next from a couple of groups which are appearing at the festival, and then John will rejoin us again for conversation about the music at this year's festival. We were talking about Wayne Horvitz. We'll hear music from his latest recording, inspired by the poetry of Richard Hugo, Some Places Are Forever Afternoon. And after this piece, we'll hear a piece by the Westerlies, which was also composed by Wayne Horvitz. First, here is the Wayne Horvitz Ensemble, Wayne on piano, a little later Hammond B3 organ. Ron Miles from Denver is on cornet, Sarah Schoenbach on bassoon, Peggy Lee, the cellist from Vancouver, Tim Young guitar, Keith Lowe on bass, and Eric Eagle on drums. And we'll hear them playing In Some Other Home. piece by Wayne Horvitz. I love that. It's called Barbershop, and it's played by the Westerlies, the music of Wayne Horvitz, Riley Mulherkar on trumpet, Zubin Hensler on trumpet, the trombones Andy Clausen and Willem de Kock. And that's from the album by the Westerlies, Wish the Children Would Come on Home. That group is going to be performing as part of the Earshot Festival in a concert on Sunday, October 25th, at the Seattle Art Museum Auditorium. Skerrick will open with a solo saxophone set. Before that, we were listening to Wayne Horvitz's own group and music from his latest recording, which is based on suggested by the poems of Richard Hugo, Some Places Are Forever Afternoon. And from this album, we heard a piece titled In Some Other Home. With Wayne Horvitz at the piano and Hammond B3, Ron Miles cornet, Sarah Schoenbach bassoon, Peggy Lee cello, Tim Young guitar, Keith Lowe bass, and Eric Eagle on drums. And they are going to be performing on the opening weekend of the festival this next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, Saturday at the Poncho Concert Hall, Cornish College of the Arts, and a week from today on Sunday, October 11th at the White Center Fieldhouse in White Center. Obviously, 6 p.m. for that concert. Wayne Horvitz and Some Places Are Forever Afternoon. You're listening to Jazz Northwest from 88.5 KPLU and streaming at kplu.org. I'm Jim Wilkie. My guest today is John Gilbreth, the executive director of Earshot Jazz, and we're talking about the upcoming Earshot Jazz Festival, which starts next weekend. Some of the music in the festival sort of stretches the definitions of jazz. Some of it is played by young, new artists, and some of it is played by veteran performers who have a long history of making the music. And fresh look at new music, too, along the way. One of the younger performers in the festival is a young man by the name of Jacob Zimmerman, who is not only a very accomplished saxophonist, he is also a jazz educator, and he has a role in the opening night performance.
Jacob is playing a night at Tula's on October 30th, but he's also running our opening night event, which is at the All Ages Club Vera Project on October 9th, and that's an all-school jazz jam. And Jacob Zimmerman, I've asked him to be in charge of putting the music together for that. Oh. And he's assembled a band. Again, you know, there's so many ways to look at this festival. And so for me, putting it together, so many little gems inside. But the group that he's put together to be the core group to run the jam session or to play the first set of it is a group that's comprised of the young jazz educators in Seattle. We've you know, all of our careers, we've been singing the praises of Clarence Acox and of Scott Brown and of Mark Escovedo and of Robert Natt. And, you know, they, like us, are getting old, and there's a new, you know, a whole new group of jazz educators that are dedicated, that are filling those shoes and coming up. So this ensemble of six or seven people, the core group of that that will perform, is made up of these jazz educators, and then that will be a lot of their students and a lot of other students that will join in the jam session for that. That's our opening night on October 9th.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful collection of people here, including quite a number of resident Seattle musicians, as well as some great visitors, too. You're talking about the young and the old. Charles Lloyd is going to be in mid-October.
Charles coming back with a new quartet around this new piece that he's got called Wild Man Dance that they performed in New York City at the Metropolitan Museum of Art to great acclaim, and there's a new release on it. It's young Gerald Clayton on piano and Kendrick Scott, the drummer, with Ruben Rogers once again on bass. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love Charles's work, and I love kind of the mystical aspect of it. With all due respect, there's a large number of saxophonists and a large number of people playing the instrument just insanely well. But at some point, and this has always been the promise in jazz, that there's a spirit in the music, there's a soul in the music that can transport you to another place, that can just touch you inside. And for me, Charles's music does that, and it does it more and more as he progresses, as he, you know, gets older, as it were. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I love working with Charles.
A floating lyricism about his music that is very different from a lot of tenor sax playing today, which is about how many notes people can cram into a measure. Yeah. But not with Charles. He floats over the music so beautifully sometimes.
And not only is he willing to take it to the spiritual level, but it's like he's driven to do that. Mm-hmm. That's where it has to go for him. So I love that. And I'm always happy to have Charles Lloyd back. I was talking with somebody the other day, and they were reminiscing about a concert we did in the 1990s with the duo with Charles and Billy Higgins when they were just doing that thing, and that Andy Bay was on too. That was a wonderful night.
Charles Lloyd coming up on October 17th at Town Hall. Now, we've been throwing a lot of names out here, a lot of dates, and so on and so forth. It's time to mention the catch-up on all of the details by picking up a brochure, which are scattered all around town. And also, of course, online at earshot.org. You'll find complete information. You can order tickets there. You can find out more about the individual artist and who's playing when.
I could toss out a lot more names and a lot more information, but I don't want to confuse folks. There's some gems in here, and much of, you know, this art form is progressing and moving along so quickly and with such a broad scope internationally that there's a lot of things coming into it that none of us can really keep up with. A couple of things that are kind of sleepers that I'm really looking forward to. One of them is on October 16th, there's a harpist from Colombia called Edmar Castaneda. He's doing a solo harp. It's a South American harp concert at Cornish Concert Pancho Concert Hall. And Jovino Santos Neto is going to open with the solo piano set. But Edmar is from Colombia. He's just insanely good on the instrument. And it's such an unusual instrument and such an unusual setting. It's absolutely a jazz concert. It's just jaw-dropping the way he plays that instrument.
He had a long-standing weekly engagement in New York City. I can't remember the club.
I don't either.
But he played every Monday night at a major jazz club in New York City. So he's very much on the New York scene and someone well worth checking out. So let's talk about some of the various places it's going to be taking place. We've mentioned the Seattle Art Museum and also the Benaroya Hall and Town Hall, but also some club engagements as well. Tula's is one of the focal points.
Yeah, thank you very much. I went back and actually went to Tula's to see, you know, what do you want to do? What really works for you? Because it's time to honor Tula's as well and their commitment to jazz in Seattle. And so they kind of handpicked a few of their favorites, including Frank Catalano, one of those monster tenor saxophone player.
Chicagoan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Larry Fuller, the beloved former Seattleite, coming back to play a trio engagement also at Tula's. So, yeah, there's some great stuff there. And it's such a wonderful vibe. A small jazz club, everybody there for jazz.
And I just saw something about Larry Fuller recently that he's playing in a Ray Brown tribute band with Jeff Hamilton, and John Clayton is playing bass.
Perfect.
And they're playing some dates like that, too. Larry was, of course, Ray Brown's last piano player
before with Jeff Hamilton in the band.
Mm-hmm. We have a few old friends revisiting again, Art Landy and Jay Clayton and a celebration of Julian Priester. Let's talk about some of those. Julian's 80.
Julian, clicked over onto 80 this past summer, but we're putting together something. The great musical alchemist Stuart Dempster proposed this 80th birthday celebration. Stuart himself, an 80-year-old trombonist, but nobody can really do this like Stuart could do. So there will be, at the core of it, Julian's quartet with Don Clement, Jeff Harper, Byron Van Oy. So Julian will play a short set with his quartet. And then we're bringing in, and Stuart is putting together a bit of a trombone choir. Mm. And as you know, with Stuart's work, he likes to stand in the audience and play the horn. So I believe we're going to surround the entire audience at the Pancho Concert Hall with trombone players. Oh. Jim says,
I'm just trying to imagine the sound of all these trombones around. I love the sound of trombones in choir, especially because it's such a rich, visceral kind of sound. It's an amazing thing. Where is that going to be done?
That's at the Pancho Concert Hall at Cornish, where Julian was a faculty member for 30 years or more. So, yeah, that'll be magical. And then we're going to have cake and ice cream up on stage afterwards. So that's a night in tribute to Julian Priester, October 24, Saturday night.
Thanks, John. John Gilbert, Executive Director of Earshot Jazz and presenter of the Earshot Jazz Festival, which begins next weekend. We've been talking about some of the events which are taking place in the first couple of weeks of the festival. We'll have John back again later this month to talk about further events during the Earshot Jazz Festival starting next weekend. Right now, let's listen to some music by a couple of the artists we were just talking about, a couple of great artists who've been around for a long time and have contributed a lot to the music. We'll hear first from Julian Priester from his album In Deep End Dance, and then we'll hear from Charles Lloyd and his quartet from the album Mirror. First, Julian Priester on trombone. He's heard here with his group, including Don Clement on piano, Jeff Harper on bass, and Byron Vannoy on drums. This is the piece which bookends the album, In Deep, End Dance. This is In Deep from the opening track of the album with the Julian Priester Quartet, Julian Priester on trombone. Thank you. Couple of the artists, venerable artists, who are going to be featured at this year's Earshot Jazz Festival. We just heard from Charles Lloyd's quartet. Charles Lloyd on tenor saxophone with Jason Moran piano, Ruben Rogers bass, and Eric Harland at the drums, in an original composition by Charles named for a beautiful stretch of water in British Columbia called Desolation Sound. Charles Lloyd on tenor sax from his album Mirror. Charles is going to be performing in concert at Town Hall Saturday, October 17th. And before that, we were listening to Julian Priester, whose 80th is going to be celebrated on Saturday, October 24th, Pancho Concert Hall at the Cornish College of the Arts. We heard Julian Priester on trombone, Don Clement at the piano, the bass player Jeff Harper, and Byron Vannoy on drums, playing In Deep from the album In Deep, Endgame. Julian Priester, celebration October 24th at Pancho Concert Hall at Cornish, where he's taught for some 30-plus years. Thanks to John Gilbreth, the executive director of Earshot Jazz, for joining us on today's show. We'll have John back in a future program to talk more about the festival. It starts up next weekend and runs well into November. For more information, see the Earshot website, earshot.org. There are also brochures around town and detailed information in the new issue of Earshot Jazz Magazine. John Gilbreth will be back with us in a couple of weeks to talk some more about the festival as it's progressing. And next week here on the program, we're going to be listening to some music from the Jazzport Townsend Festival, the Bob Mincer Big Band, the Festival All-Star Big Band playing the compositions and arrangements by Bob Mincer, who's also heard on tenor saxophone directing the band. That's next week here on Jazz Northwest. Jazz Northwest comes your way every Sunday afternoon at this time from 88.5 KPLU and streaming at kplu.org. In the time remaining on today's program, I'd like to share with you some music from a new recording out of Vancouver, BC. This is a latest release in the Cellar Live album series, and it's titled Legacy. It's the Jill Townsend Big Band. Jill Townsend is a very skilled arranger in Vancouver, and she's been leading this big band for many years. The new album is dedicated to the memory of Ross Taggart, who played first tenor in her band for 12 years, and she says his contribution to the band was huge, both through his tremendous sound and his personal support. She says, for me, the most poignant track in the album is a beautiful solo piano version of a composition titled Apple Cider for Jill. And she made an arrangement of this piece for the big band and titled it Legacy. It became the title tune for the album. Let's listen to these two pieces. The first one, Ross Taggart, normally a tenor saxophonist, but he also was quite a good pianist. We'll hear him playing Apple Cider Vinegar for Jill, and then Jill's arrangement of the piece titled Legacy. Thank you. Legacy, the music of Ross Taggart, played by the Jill Townsend Big Band, preceded by Ross Taggart's own piano rendering of that piece, Apple Cider Vinegar for Jill. The soloist here was the soprano saxophonist Campbell Riga, and the arrangement by Jill Townsend for her new album, Legacy. And that's it for today. I'm Jim Wilkie. Hope you've enjoyed our music here and our preview of the Earshot Festival coming up next weekend. Join us again next week at this same time when we'll have music from Jazzport Townsend, a performance by the Festival All-Star Big Band directed by Bob Mintzer. Stay tuned for Ken Wiley and the Art of Jazz coming up next. You're listening to KPLU Tacoma, Seattle at 88.5, KPLI Olympia 90.1, KVIX Port Angeles Victoria 89.3, KPLK Cedar Woolley 88.9, and streaming worldwide at kplu.org.